Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is. You with us, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, John? Another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. Woohoo! We're officially ready to get this party started. Obviously, again, the month of April is literally just cruising on by. We're excited to talk NBA playoff baseball. Just started. NBA, obviously, that's topic, and you know, in the NFL draft is right around the corner, too. So, a lot of things to discuss. So, man, let's go ahead and get it. Welcome Gary back. Like you said, Gary, apparently our ratings did kind of take a little dip, but it's good to have you back. JQ is taking a nice little hiatus, so let's go around the horn and kind of check in with everyone. So, Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, my guy?
Hey, man, doing great. Ready to do the show. Got a nap in, so feeling fresh and recharged.
No. That's awesome. I'm glad you good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Fire away.
Oh, okay. So where's JQ?
Gary must don't read the text messages.
Yeah, he said he had to do something. He was going to be disposed this week.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
You know
yeah,
what? I do read my text messages when I'm able to get a signal.
Oh yeah, thank
you. Yeah, so we're up in the mountains up in Williams, Arizona right now.
Oh.
And we're about, I guess, around 6,500 foot elevation. And so we had to find a place tonight where I could actually, you know, have a cell phone signal and internet. So we found it. Here we are. So as
two
long
for
as it
two,
lasts.
Gary. Okay. All right. We'll take it. Yeah, like I said, I think you were talking a little bit before the call that it's definitely treacherous conditions, so please be careful as you're making your travel plans, everything like that. So I know you're still having fun, but, you know, definitely be careful. So good stuff. But other than that, you doing good, though?
I'm doing fantastic. On Monday, I'm going to have an offer on my home. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but I've been told that 11 a.m. I'm having a meeting, so there's going to be an offer. We'll see if it's an acceptable one or if it's something I reject.
Okay, all right. That's progress. Good stuff. Yeah, it's an interesting market right now, too. So, we'll see how that plays out. Man, good stuff. I'm just happy that Rob didn't tell us what he ate this evening, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some asparagus in there as well, too. So, but it's all good. Apparently,
I did have some for lunch.
Gary was this guy in his insides. What is that, Tampa Bay? Is that a Tampa Bay Lightning hat, Rob? That's what Gary.
Oh, yeah, playoff time. NHL.
There it is. We were talking about this. You missed it, Gary, last week. JQ is a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. You talk about how crazy that is on the hockey tip. Yeah, I'm right. We were just like, what? Because he was taking his back whenever he was playing. He's playing NHL on the Sega Genesis, which is funny.
How long have I been on the show? What? Maybe like 3 years or something?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Not one time.
I'm flying.
On this sports show, have I ever heard that?
That's the first time we heard it last week is what we're trying to tell you. We didn't hear. We didn't, like, he was like, you're going to – because, like, obviously Rob was wearing some – he was wearing some hockey stuff, and he was like, let me tell you this. That's the only team that I was a fan of Pittsburgh was the Pittsburgh Penguins because he was talking about Yammer Yager, and he played that on the Sega Genesis whenever he was in college. And we were like, what? The only team that you like from Pittsburgh was the Penguins. It was the hockey team, which is hilarious. So, yeah.
And as much as he called Pittsburgh Itzburg,
yeah.
He's a Penguins fan. I can't believe that one. That was a shocker to us.
We were like, oh, my God, we got it. Anyway. He's not here to defend himself, obviously, but we'll talk about that next week whenever he comes back on, which is, it was just one of those things. But anyway, gentlemen, let's get this party started. We got a lot of things to discuss. We have some time to definitely dive into topics. Thank you, Rob, as always, for everyone that wants to call into the show. The number stays the same. It's the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last, but most certainly not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man or 12th man sports, we are there as well. So let's kick it off, gentlemen, with some power rankings for Major League Baseball. And I know everyone's going to have differences as far as what you think, but you got to go number one with the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, you talk about they just literally 11-0 start. I think they're leading the – living to know, that's what I said, yep. So 29 homers, obviously. Josh Lowe kicked up some another homer. You know, Sean, their ace, what is it, Shane McClanahan, was on fire tonight, too. They beat the Boston Red Sox, you know, as a Yankees fan. You guys are happy about that. But just this a historic start for Tampa Bay. So, obviously, we got them in the number one position just for just how hot their start is right now, too. So they're breaking some records. I think the last team that was kind of close to that was the 1981 Oakland Athletics with that crazy fast start, too. So they're right in that category, too. Number two, I've got my Atlanta Braves. Only because, like I said, you know, poor JQ is on this call to take another. We just nudged by the Reds again tonight. Sean Murphy had a walk-off home run the night before, which is amazing. So we're just throwing this nice little high. We did run into a little challenge with the Padres, but I like us in that position. Number three, I'm going to show you guys some love, Gary and Rob, with the New York Yankees in that position. Obviously, you guys are that's what you guys, man. You know, you may think differently. You know, all right, that's all right. I got you guys up. Show you guys some love. This is top fourth. You know, look at anybody. You know, I just put the Padres up there because I think the Padres are playing well. And then whether you go fifth between, you can go with the Astros, the Twins, the Dodgers. I mean, everyone's kind of up for debate as far as that, too. But those are kind of some situations here. But like I said, I think everyone's going to go number one with the Rays as far as their start, too. So that's what I've got for my top five.
Not so fast. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I got the Rays number one, too, man. You said it, 11-0. Pitching and defense has always been the Rays' MO, right? But this year, they getting it at the plate, too. When you look at it, I mean, last year, one of the things that the Rays struggled with is that they just couldn't score enough runs. But right now, man, offensively, they're getting it done as well. A lot of their young stars are really coming through. Wander Franco, having a, you know, Randy Arozarena, those guys off to a really good start for the Rays. So, I mean, now the one downside to the Rays is that they've had a really weak schedule to start the season. So that's the one thing. But, hey, 11-0 in baseball is 11-0, man. It doesn't matter the schedule. It's extremely hard to go 11-0 in baseball. So I'm going to still say they're the most impressive team regardless of the schedule so far. And like I said, the difference is between this year and last year, they're hitting. Their bats are hot right now in addition to what they're getting from a pitching and defense standpoint. I as well have the Braves at the number two spot. So it's going to be Ronald Acuna. I mean, if they can keep him healthy all season with the pitching staff that the Braves have, they could be a real terror this season as well in the National League. You know, obviously, they're still just a season or so removed from winning a World Series. Right now, I got the Milwaukee Brewers at number three. I mean, they are – Christian Yelich is off to a really good start in that team. They're surprising. I know the Yankees did win tonight, but I'm not ready to put them in the top five yet. They had an impressive I will put the Yankees in the top five. I'll put Arizona number four, and I'll put the Yankees at the number five spot. Arizona is another team that's surprisingly getting some really good pitching to start this season so far out of nowhere. Now, is this what it's going to look like at the end of the season? Probably not. But so far to start the season, I'll have the Rays 1, Braves 2, Brewers 3, Diamondbacks 4, Yankees 5.
Wow. Well, you guys thought that everybody was going to pick, Tampa Bay as in that number one spot. And I've got news for you. I am too. 10-0 is 10-0.
This guy.
11-0 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are 11-0. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Tampa in number one. I've got the Brewers in number two. I've got Atlanta at number three. Arizona at four. And at five, it could be anybody. I'm a Yankee fan, so I put the Yankees there. I don't necessarily believe they deserve to be there right now, but I put them at the fifth spot, barely, above a whole bunch of other teams.
Yeah, and so that's what we were talking about, right? It's a couple of different, Arizona has, they kind of have a four-game win streak. I agree with you, though, as far as the Brewers, they're pretty – but, it's early, right? So it's definitely 2 weeks into the season, but it's just interesting to see what's happening right now, too. But, needless to say, as you said, Rob, 11-0 is 11-0, too. So, you got to play who's on the schedule. Braves had a great hot start. Like you said, I know there's some challenges. We've had some injuries, too. We're kind of holding on, but it's just interesting to see what's happened, too. And like I said, I know you're not being as impressed with your Yankees just yet, gentlemen, but it is interesting to see, kind of what we're kind of predicting those predictions are going to happen, too. Let's take it on the flip side, too, and I guess talk about two teams that are concerning here. And I'll throw it to you, Rob, but, should the Phillies and Cardinals fans be concerned is the question.
definitely too early to panic, right? We're still early in the season. It's 162 games.
Relax.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at that Phillies lineup, they are loaded in that lineup. Now, the question with the Phillies, are they going to get enough pitching, right? But, man, when you look at their batting lineup, and they beat probably the best pitcher in baseball a couple of nights ago, Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins, and they hammered him pretty hard. But the Phillies did lose to the Marlins tonight. But I still think it's still too early in the season to panic. The Cardinals are beating Colorado 9-6 so far. I would say let's kind of give it at least until two more weeks, and then I think we can maybe see where these teams may be trending.
Winning and losing sometimes is contagious, right? So you pick a couple of teams like this. I think it's too early at this point. I also think it's too early at this point. Sorry for my dogs. I think it's too early at this point to
stop it.
When we're talking about on the Tampa Bay side of things too. That's a very hot start, but that team, with how they struggled last year, we could be talking about them in 15 games and say, hey, what happened to Tampa Bay? So it goes in cycles in this long season, but this is way too early for these two teams.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, too, on that, too. So we talk about it. I hate quoting freaking Aaron Rodgers. He did say relax, too. But, obviously, it is too early to panic, as you said, Rob, early into the season right now. Like we talked about, they were the runner-up last year for that, too, for the Phillies, too. So you got to kind of have, what's going on with that, too. So good stuff. Let's talk about – interesting here, the Mets and Matt Scherzer here, he was in a slight little slump, but he brought something today, so he had kind of has a slump here. He has five shutout innings, so good for him, right? So if you're a Mets fan right now, you know, you're pretty excited as far as that being, you know, Scherzer here. So what are your thoughts about that too, Rob?
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, he shut out the, you know, had a, you know, big game, you know, five shutout innings and bounced back. So once again, I think it's too early to panic. He said he's not dead yet. He's still in it. So let's see. I can tell you what, the Mets are going to need him. You know, they don't have Edwin Diaz for the season.
Yeah.
You know, getting hurt in the World Baseball Classic. So they're going to need that pitching staff. They're going to need Max Scherzer. They're going to need Jacob DeGrom. Their starting pitching is going to be excellent, so they don't have the closer that they were thinking they were going to have before the season.
I would definitely agree with that. What is he making per year? He's making over $40 million a year, isn't he? And he did have a three-year deal for, like, $130 million or something like that.
I believe I got to look it up.
You don't bring somebody like that. You know, he'll be just fine. He'll be just fine. It's short. It's a long season, and you want that guy down the stretch. You know, you want that guy, and you know when these games all of the games count.
Yeah.
But as the season goes on in baseball, it gets more intense, and this is when you want a guy like that.
Yeah. Right now he's playing on a 3-year, $130 million contract.
Okay, yeah, that's the big bucks.
That's just some pocket change for you, Gary.
That's up there with Rob.
That's pocket change for Gary.
Big money. Oh, my God. Big money. Good stuff, yeah. Definitely agree on that, too. So, Scherzer, who are good that he's finally making his keep. But like I said, you know, there's a situation, too, where – we're just happy. It's still everything is just early into the season right now too. So we'll see as the everything comes along too for what's happening with teams and whatnot. Let's talk about some interesting situations and again we have to get back to the Lamar Jackson situation, and the word on the street is that he actually helped recruit Odell Beckham to join the Ravens and. If you didn't know, there's been some rumblings and as far as what's happening with the Ravens in the front office. I mean, this is just an interesting situation, right? Because one side you keep hearing that they are scouting Richardson, right? You know, JQ's favorite quarterback. They're also doing heavy scouting on wide receivers. I know they were talking about trading for DeAndre Hopkins and whatnot, and they end up signing Odell Beckham. So right now, it's an interesting situation too. So I know, Rob, you're going to talk about the mock draft too, but it's interesting that he actually helped recruit Odell, because it seems like there is – I don't know if there's light in the tunnel, but it's like I don't know why you recruit him, because if you didn't think you're going to stay with the Ravens. It's just a weird situation right now too. So that's kind of what we're hearing. But, kick it – I don't know if you want to start that, Gary, or start with Rob, but we're going to leave that open to discuss.
Well, as far as – a lot of these players do. A lot of these players, if there's a player they want and there's – They look at all this stuff, and they've got even more access to these rumor mills, you know, bringing in players and this sort of thing. And I guarantee you, you know, if he has an opportunity, and he does, to bring in a talent like Odell Beckham Jr., who I believe still has a lot in the tank, a lot to offer a team, especially a team, you know, like
really?
The Ravens, when,
wow.
with Lamar Jackson, with his – you know, his abilities out there, especially in the run game, and you've got to respect that so much, or he's gone, to have a weapon like that, another weapon, absolutely. I think it's a good thing, and he's out of the NFC, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you want to see how, if he's, you know, still the same guy. I mean, obviously he helped the Rams, you know, maybe he pulled some of the covers away, but you know, Mark Andrews has always been, you know, Lamar's favorite target. So we'll see if that's the case, or they really haven't been able to provide a nice receiving target for Lamar just yet. Or I don't know what the deal is. It seems like there's a lot of things happening with that too. So it is interesting they're doing their due diligence. And I am curious if they are looking at a quarterback too. If this is a situation too, like they want to be in the situation. But Rob, what's the you on this topic, my guy?
I actually think that this probably solidifies that Lamar Jackson is coming back to the Ravens. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. This is still one of Andre's favorite terms. And so obviously if he's securing recruiting players to come, and even when they came out that he requested a trade, I still felt like at the time he was coming back to Baltimore. And there's not another team out there that's going to make a big push for him at this stage. I think we talked about this last week, that all the teams are committed to who they're going to go into the season with, except for the teams that's drafting quarterbacks, of course. So I think he's definitely going to be with the Ravens. And I think he sees that, and he went out and recruited Odell to see if he can get another weapon. Because the one thing the Ravens haven't had in that offense is any elite wide receivers. And, you know, we don't know how much Odell has in the tank. You know, coming off a major injury. This is his second major injury of his career, and he's knocking on 30 years old, maybe even 30-plus now. So we don't know how much he has left. So I even with the signing of Odell, I won't be convinced if the Ravens draft a receiver in the first two or three rounds of this draft. You still don't know what you're going to get out of Odell. And he's got a lot of incentives in his contract. He may come in and be great, but I think you can't go into the season thinking he's a number one receiver like he used to be. And yeah, I think you hope for the best, but I think you got a plan for a plan B too. But I think this does solidify the fact that Lamar Jackson is coming back to the Ravens, and I definitely don't see the Ravens drafting a QB in the first three rounds of this draft.
Well, the only thing I'd go back on that is he doesn't seem to be the most accurate of passers out there. And to have a guy that has got the hands that Odell Beckham Jr. has is a good thing. Is he going to be what he was 5 years ago? No, he's not. But I still think he can be a very important piece on their team. Absolutely. I wanted him on the Cowboys, to be quite honest with
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think this will help.
Yeah.
I think this is a good move. I watched a lot of the tape here the last few days. All the little tapes that the little workouts and stuff that Odell Beckham Jr. did. And, man, he looked good. He looked really good, actually. That's not having that, 210-pound, cornerback on you or, having to cut a step too early or, whatever they have to do. This is a controlled environment in these things, and they make them look as good as they possibly can. But there have been times when we've seen receivers and said, he doesn't look that good anymore. I saw some of, Dez Bryant's stuff, the same type of thing, when he was trying to make a corner. And I didn't see the old Dez Bryant at all in his tapes. I didn't see signs of the old Odell Beckham Jr. in his tapes. That's what I saw.
Right. He didn't see, like, a Terrell Owens over there doing, 100 push-ups or anything, sit-ups or anything like that. No, that was happening for sure.
Yeah.
But, no. It seems like Odell kind of took his time right after the injury. He kind of was, he didn't really find a team late last year. He was like, okay, I'm going to still work out, get healthy, let his injury really, really heal. So it seems like he's going to be in his best shape, like you said, Gary, going into the season too. So right now, if you are the Ravens, they were definitely, playoff team going into that. And then just heading into that final, stretch, the final week, just the situation that they had, maybe he's thinking he can add something. He's like, hey, they got a pretty strong running game, a pretty strong defense. Maybe I can help them as well. But I'm with you, Rob. I'm not sure
if the Ravens are kind of targeting receiver, which is what you would think they would need, they're just going to get stronger all around and, you know, stay true to their form as far as getting strong in the trenches and continuing to fortify that defense. But, you know, hopefully they will definitely give Lamar Jackson some weapons. So anything else you want to add to that, Rob, or you want to talk about your updated mock draft?
Oh, yeah, we can move on to the updated mock draft. No worries there. I think we covered the Lamar Jackson piece pretty well. I only did a three-round mock draft this week, so sorry to disappoint. I know I was on a roll with doing a couple of seven-round mock drafts, so we'll get back to the seven-round mock draft for next week's show. But we're actually just about 2 weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away from the real thing, for the real draft coming up here on April 27th. But I'll do what I normally do. I'll go over the top 10 picks, and then I'll go over the picks for our three teams here. So I still got C.J. Stroud going number one to Carolina. It seems as though they've narrowed down to Stroud or Bryce Young. I got Bryce Young going to Houston, who's probably still the most ready quarterback in this draft is Bryce Young. But I have him going number two to Houston. Will Anderson Jr., edge rusher from Alabama, got him going to Arizona. Anthony Richardson, I got him back going to the Colts at the number four spot. Tyree Wilson, edge rusher, Texas Tech. I got him going to Seattle at the number five spot. Detroit, got him going Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. Las Vegas, I got him taking Christian Gonzalez, all-world athletic cornerback from Oregon. Got him going to the number seven spot. Atlanta, I got him taking Luka Van Ness, the edge rusher from Iowa, extremely athletic. Edge rusher, you know, a lot of scouts are comparing them to the Watt brothers, JJ and his brother as well. So we'll see if he lives up to that billing. Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle, Ohio State, got him going to the Bears at nine. And Nolan Smith, edge rusher from Georgia, I have him going number 10 to Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll start with the Falcons. I already mentioned going Luka Van Ness, edge rusher from Iowa. Got to take Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama in the second round. In the third round, I got him taking Henry Tua, linebacker from Alabama, who can come in and help them and be probably even a starter early in his career. But at worst, he definitely help you out as a backup and on special teams. A little small, but, you know, extremely athletic linebacker. For the Cowboys, I got to take in DeJuan Jones, big offensive tackle from Ohio State. 6'8". He's got long arms. He's really nailing it in a workout session. So he's steadily moved up the draft boards. I think when we started doing these mocks, I had him in the third round, but he's been inching up. Ja'Quarion Bennett, cornerback from Maryland. I know the Dallas has made some moves to shore up their secondary. They want to continue to get some more depth at the cornerback position. They feel pretty good about their front seven, but they get another cornerback. You need about three to four good cornerbacks on your roster, and they go ahead and get Ja'Quarion Bennett, cornerback from Maryland. You know, the funny thing is, you know, when this whole draft thing started here back in October or November, Ja'Quarion Bennett was considered the best cornerback on Maryland's team, but the scouts started looking at Deontay Banks. It was like, who's the other corner? But Ja'Quarion Bennett is still a really good corner, even though Deontay is going to probably go in the first round. And then the third round, I got the Cowboys taking Jalen Redmond, edge rusher from Oklahoma, with the third in their third round pick. For my beloved Saints, I got to take a big offensive guard, Osiris Torrance, in the first round.
Pick. Damn it, for me, not for you.
You know, dominated the Sun Belt with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Then he went on to the SEC and Florida and dominated there as well. Got him going back to Louisiana to the Saints here at that pick. Andres Pete is going to be a free agent next year for the Saints, and he's a little injury prone too. And then Cesar Ruiz, our other starting guard, is also going to be a free agent next year. So both have one-year deals left on their contract with the Saints. Ruiz is coming off his best NFL season, so I'm sure the Saints are probably going to try to keep him. But, you know, just in case, you know, you need to get another guard in there and the plan for the future here as well. Second round, I got the Saints taking Sam LaPorta, tight end from Iowa. Great pass-catching tight end. Probably needs to improve in the blocking area of his game. A lot of scouts compare him to another Iowa tight end, George Kittle. So we'll see, you know. But Sam LaPorta, you know, you can't look at his tape at Iowa because, you know, man, they barely throw the football effectively. But he was very impressive in all of his workouts, catching the football, including the combine. And then in the third round, I got the Saints taking another weapon, Kayshawn Boutte from LSU.
Boutte.
Started off this past season a little rough, coming off that injury, but he really turned it up toward the end of the season. Had a really big game in the SEC championship game against Georgia, and had a big game in the bowl game against Purdue. Has not ran well in his workouts, though, and so this is why he falls to the third round here. He was once projected to be a first-round pick. That's where we stand.
Good stuff. What you got?
Yeah.
Good stuff. What you got on that? Anything you want to add to that, Gary? Are you happy with the
the
mock is?
I was happy with that. If it worked out that way, I'd be fine with it. I like our first round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. This is good. For me, this is weird. If you guys didn't know the news, you know that the Falcons traded for Jeff Okuda. You know, obviously, JQ's not here to talk about Buckeyes here, but I know he had a rough start, number three corner for the same draft as AJ Terrell, which is pretty interesting.
They were the top two corners in that draft.
Right, and you know, obviously got hurt, you know, and then he had the Achilles, and then you know he's coming back this season. So you know, 15 games, and it's interesting because. This is an interesting pick, you know, right now because we only gave up a fifth rounder for him. So I think that probably definitely eliminates us getting a corner, you know, at number eight. So it's interesting, Rob, because I don't know if we're going to go edge or if we're going to trade back. And there's a couple different positions, whether, you know, whenever he had Nolan Smith going in the top 10, I thought it was kind of high, but there's been some scuttlebutt about him going to the Falcons at eight, which I'm like, that's a little high, but, you know, I don't know. I would trade back. I still would like to strengthen the offensive line if we don't do something miraculous over the years. I'd love to get like a Cyrus O'Torn. I'd love to get Dewan Jones. But I also want to figure out if we can get like a Avila or a Steve Avila or a John Michael Smith. But, you know, again, those are kind of some situations that there's all these picks to think about too. So, you know, is edge is the situation. Is Isaiah Foskey the option for, you know, later on as far as, you know, from Notre Dame? But we definitely got to – I'm seriously not sure what direction we're going to go now because I'm like, man, they had a lot of mocks for us going with Christian Gonzalez, you know, the corner from Oregon, you know, Gary. So that was interesting. So
yeah.
Now with Okuda, that wipes him off the table, I'm sure. There's been some rumors about, you know, Robinson from Texas, which I still think is kind of high, him at number eight. I love Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously being from Georgia Tech and also going to Alabama. Again, just it's kind of interesting, you know, because we all have our thoughts as far as what we should pick as far as our team. But, you know, it's going to be curious as far as what's going to happen. So this really feels like a best player available scenario for sure. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I think if the right cornerback is there for the Falcons, I still would rule them out taking the corner. Because Okuda, as talented as he is, and I think he had the best season this past season too, he hasn't been reliable. And I think that's why Detroit got rid of him. So I think if he's healthy, you know, you may have something there. But, you know, can the Falcons really rely on him? So I think they're hoping for the best with Okuda. But I think if a Gonzalez is on a board when the Falcons pick, I mean, he's extremely talented, and you still got to think about that. And you need 3 to 4 good corners in this game today. So I wouldn't –
right.
I'm not saying the Falcons are going to take a corner, but I wouldn't necessarily root it out just because they traded for Okuda. And, you know, obviously if Okuda is healthy, You know, but he hasn't been healthy most of his career. So I don't think it's somebody that you – I think it's somebody that you're hoping that he can stay healthy, but I don't think you can rely on it either. So I would, I still wouldn't be surprised if they take a cornerback here.
We signed Mike Hughes.
I got Gonzalez.
Yeah, we signed Mike Hughes, and we also got Casey Hayward coming back too. So that's still kind of where we are too. So right now I'm with you. We got like three pretty – and then you add a coup to that. So like, ah, you know, like you said, now you're playing with house money because you're paying for – his, you know, Detroit's paying for half the salary, we're paying for the other half. And so, again, you're just hoping that he is it's just a one-year rental at this juncture because he got him on his rookie deal. So if he plays well, opportunity for, like you said, for him to, you know, get that secondary deal. But, you know, he's better than any fifth-round pick we would get, I would say. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at for sure. But go ahead.
Well, I definitely think it was worth the trade, obviously, no doubt about it, because he's talented. And if you can keep him healthy, then, like I said, he actually had his best season. But, you know, I think his first two seasons, where he played 10 games in two seasons, and then he missed some games this past season, too. But even though he, his production this past season was the best when he played.
Well, what is his injury?
Yeah.
What is it going in? What is it that's wrong with him right now? Anything?
He had an Achilles. Yeah, he had an Achilles that he tore like the second year in. And then he just started getting, like I said, the first year, Matt Patricia was not the best coach for him. That's what everyone was saying. And then he goes into next year, then he has that injury for the whole season. And he just started coming back this year. And as Rob said, he started 15 games. You know, he played well. He was just kind of getting his legs under him and whatnot too, because it probably takes a good year or half to make sure that you're okay with that injury. So he started showing signs of that. You know, he's a clearly talented guy. You can't, you know, you're the number three corner, you know, coming from Ohio State. But just was it coaching? Was it he wasn't getting a chance to develop? There's a couple of things that probably go wrong with what happened too. So, but you're Detroit, man. I mean, I'm not saying it's like, yeah, you got a Detroit corner, man. It's like, yeah, but, you know, he's clearly talented if he went top three, you know. So, but, yeah, we'll see. It's definitely a gamble for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Detroit, they did a lot in free agency to address the secondary. I mean,
they signed
Sutton from Pittsburgh. They signed Emmanuel Mosley from the 49ers.
Yep,
they signed Charleston Garner-Johnson from Philadelphia.
Yep.
So, I mean, they thought it was an opportunity for them to cut ties with Okuda due to his injury history. And but, you know, I still think the if healthy, obviously, I think the Falcons come out to win here. And, you know, we'll see if Okuda is really a bust or not, or if he comes back and, you know has a, you know, good year.
Yeah.
Well, if they're
maybe
putting all of the salary,
he might just need to change
that's a high-risk, low-risk, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
No, I'm just saying that's a low-risk, high-reward scenario, really, when you got the other team – working out a portion of his salary.
Yeah, it's that $10 million split. You know, Detroit, if he plays well, then you can either decide to, you know, either he's not going to get top dollars, but, you know, maybe you can kind of get a deal with him too. But we'll see how he plays, Rob. I'm with you. There's been two interesting situations that's happening as far as, you know, the Giants are still, I know this is what Gary loves to hear, strengthening the division, but the Giants are looking at, they're considering trading for DeAndre Hopkins, who I feel like he's been in a lot of trade discussions with, the, you know, what's happening with the Cardinals. And they're considering trading either for him or for Stephon Diggs, you know. So, again, I'm curious about that one with Stephon Diggs, you know, because obviously with the Bills, like, I don't know why you would leave that situation. There's some situation, maybe there's some rumors about what's happening with Stephon. I mean, I know he wasn't happy with how they lost last year in the playoffs versus the Bengals, if you will, but what thoughts do you have on this one, Rob, as far as, you know, or Jerry, what do you think? Are you like, sucker, do you even care about this, or what?
Well, Diggs, why would he want to make that kind of a move? Why would any of these players want to make that move? Don't they realize that the guy that's going to be throwing them the ball is Daniel Jones? Don't they realize that the other part of the equation is the quarterback? And he had a decent year.
Okay.
but I don't think he's going to have a decent career. And if you're trying to, you know, move on from an elite quarterback you had in Buffalo or wherever, you know, I mean, you're going, then now you're going to Daniel Jones. I would say that's a not really a very smart move for your career as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Rob?
I could see it from DeAndre Hopkins' standpoint. He's going to have a full year without Kyler Murray next year. But we don't know who's going to be his quarterback next year. I mean, it might be Andre Peterson for all we know. So, I mean, you know, I could see it from his standpoint, you know, possibly going to a team that's going to be a contender. Arizona, basically, next year is almost going to be a wash for them. I mean, they're not going to have a quarterback. And, I mean, so, I mean, I could see it from his standpoint on why he may want out and actually why Arizona may want to even trade him too, right? Because I think Arizona even is looking at next year. And they're not going to take a quarterback at number three. They're looking at next year being, hey, a wash season for them, right? Because it's going to be hard for them to be competitive without a quarterback. Stephon Diggs is a little bit of a surprise to me. I mean, you got Josh Allen. Your team has been knocking on that door. They still can't run. And the funny thing is they've been knocking on the door without a running game. And last year they had no pass rush. And so, I mean, if they could find a way to shore up those things, they're a team that can possibly get over the hump. So I would be surprised if Stephon Diggs get moved. I hear he's not happy in Buffalo, though, so we'll see. But it wouldn't be a surprise if DeAndre Hopkins would move, in my opinion.
Good enough.
There you have it. Moving right along. Yeah. They were the darlings, but who's the quarterback for the Cardinals right now? Now that if something happens to Tyler, or if he's going to be gone for the year, who's the? I got to look at who the quarterback is. I think we're looking that up. Is it Colt McCoy still, or I got to look that up.
That's what I'm saying. It might be you, Andre.
Hey.
Wow. Okay.
If that's the case,
none of us know who it is.
If that's the Andre, and I'm the receiver, I'm staying.
My guy, I feel the love, man. I feel the love. Thank you, Gary. I got you, man. You know, it'll be little dump off passes your boy Brock Purdy.
They might try to talk Kurt Warner out of retirement.
That's hilarious. Hey. That's hilarious.
Andre will throw me that. Andre will throw me that 15-yard bomb. It'll be great.
That's about where it's going to go, too, Gary. Good stuff.
And throw it high. And throw it really high because I'm going to have to try and run underneath it.
So Colt McCoy and David Blow are the quarterbacks.
That is scary. Okay.
That's what I said.
And yet, still, they're still trying to hold off hope, man. We'll see what – they're going to probably see what's left as far as the once the dust settles with all these quarterbacks, they're going to probably I'll pick you up. Just got to get it for the season because they probably – I know they literally locked a lot of money in Kyler right now too, so that's crazy. For sure, I mean, they don't want to go back.
You know, wouldn't be surprised if Arizona takes a flyer on a quarterback in the second or third round. I don't think they're going to pick one in the first round because I think they're still committed to Kyler Murray long term, but I would not be surprised if they take a flyer on a quarterback as early as the second or third round.
Yeah, Hendon Hooker or something like that, or you know, that could be an option, Hendon Hooker,
yep,
thinking of, or something like that, you know, definitely in that range too. We know how quarterbacks are inflated for sure. We're going to switch gears
here. Right now
here.
I got
we're
Hendon
talk
Hooker
about
going to the second round of Detroit at 48.
Wow, okay. Yeah, there's been some, you know, everyone's lying during this time. There's been some rumors that a lot of teams are calling Arizona about that number three pick, too. So, you know, again, maybe they feel a little bit more comfortable about trading out of that, getting some more pieces, and then maybe in the end of the first round, Rob, maybe addressing that. But they have another pick in there somewhere to kind of soften the blow, I would say. But, they may surprise us. I'm curious what's going to happen. There may be some draft day surprises going into some situations too, you know. So, We'll see. Talk about the NBA. So we've got a couple of MVPs and Rookie of the Year predictions here. Rob, I'm going to throw my three out there for MVP. It's probably one of the three. You know, obviously statistically, whether you're looking at Jokic, you know, Giannis, or, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, because Embiid's playing his ass off, obviously, carrying Philadelphia. But statistically, you like what's happening with Jokic, and obviously Giannis is still doing his thing as well, man. So that's what I'm thinking, one of those three. But what say you on that?
You know, I'm going to say this is the year that Joel Embiid finally gets one. I know Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo has had their share of winning MVPs. I'm going to say this is the year that Embiid finally gets that MVP. And my second choice would be Giannis, and, of course, third will be Jokic. I know Jokic is a two-time MVP, reigning MVP, and had another phenomenal year this year as well, and his team's number one in the Western Conference. Even though they kind of ended the season on a mini slump, but part of that was because, you know, some of their players are out and things of that nature. But I'm going to go Embiid, and I'm going to go to this. And for Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go Paolo Banchero from Orlando.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question on who the Rookie of the Year is this year as well. In the second half of the year, Orlando was a tough out, and Paolo was one of the reasons why. They were really a tough out in the second. They're not going to the playoffs, obviously. But, yeah, he was certainly a tough out. And speaking of the NBA, the Timberwolves are up by 15 on the Lakers right now.
Wow. Everyone picked the Lakers for that. Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's still early. It's in the third quarter with about 6 minutes to go. So I know the Hawks won earlier tonight as road team. Congrats,
right.
Dre. So they'll place the Celtics in the first round. And now the Timberwolves on the road tonight as well. So who knows? We have two road teams winning tonight.
Wow.
Well, Gary. I think Joel is my leading candidate, and I think he should be. But if you look at Joel, you look at the Joker, you look at the Greek Freak, and you look at their stats, I mean, all three of these guys have had phenomenal. Joel is 33-10-4. The Joker's 25-12 and almost 10, 9.9 assists. And the Greek Freak is 31-11-5. I mean, you can make a case for each one of these guys, but I've got a feeling that Joel is going to win it. And if he does, I think those other two guys may have a bit of a gripe, but because it's a tough race. It's close, but I think that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good call. Those are great stats, Gary, that you brought up, too, because, like I said, it feels like Embiid is playing another level. But, man, you said, Rob, Joker's already got his, you know, two times. Giannis got one.
Yeah.
You're hoping that it kind of, like, you know, give Joel his one. You know, let him. He's playing his ass off. And I'm with you as far as the Rookie of the Year. I didn't know, Rob, there was going to be, like, a late push from Jalen Williams or Benedict Mathis has been playing really well. Keegan Murray's been playing good, too. And then
he has been
outstanding. Tarek Eason's been playing good, too. So there's a couple guys that, you know, that have been really, really playing good, but I don't think, like you said, they have enough to kind of make that run that Paolo has been doing, too, man. So, but just some interesting the talent's good as far as what's happening in the NBA.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, two names you mentioned there, Jalen Williams from OKC, he's been outstanding, and Keegan Murray for Sacramento. I mean, he's been a sharp three-point shooter. Two guys. You know, Benedict, obviously, with the Pacers, you know, a little bit on a quieter scale because the Pacers didn't have that great of a year. Jalen Williams, OKC has been on a late push this year. They're playing in the play-in game against my Pelicans tomorrow night. And so he's definitely, but Sacramento, I mean, Mike Brown should be the coach of the year in the NBA this year. What he's done with that team, with Keegan Murray, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, we knew his potential all along. He finally gets to play on a big stage. So they got some big-time talent on that team. So yeah, it's going to be interesting going up against the experience of the Warriors. I think it's going to be tough for them, even though Sacramento finished the 3-seed. It's just hard for me to pick them over the Warriors, though.
Right. Let's go into that.
Warriors
next
are that scary
team. The playoff prediction. Yeah, they get hot at the right time. They just got to be in there. So let's talk about the plan. You know, obviously, I was looking at the predictions. I was not confident with the Hawks tonight because, you know, the Heat have pretty much had our number. They've done a really good job of containing Trey. He's really played below his average versus the Heat. They just out-physical him. And everyone but one person, shout out to Sam Quinn, picked the Hawks. One person picked the Hawks to beat the Heat tonight. And I was like sitting there like, woo, and then we came out. And I give Quinn Snyder credit because he was able to utilize his bench and just kind of spread out the spacing for the Heat. And, you know, Heat missed a lot of shots, but we had a ton of rebounds, man. You know, Clint Capela played good. Trey did just enough. Sadiq Bey was a great late addition. So just happy as far as that was happening with the Hawks tonight. I'm pretty shocked at the Timberwolves, not because that they're, you know, not a good enough team, but just what's happening with the Lakers, they're playing like well. So, yeah, literally it was a clean sweep. Everyone picked the Lakers to win the series, so that's interesting as far as that. Rob, it's pretty much a toss-up, you know, from what we're hearing with the Thunder and the Pelicans. Obviously, I think you're obviously leaning towards your squad. And then, you know, we got the Raptors playing the Bulls, too, as well. That's another pretty close prediction, too. So I'll give it to you and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I look at both of those games. Obviously, you know, Pelicans have some health concerns going in that game, particularly Larry Nance Jr., so hopefully he plays. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to sound like a homer here, but I'm going to pick the Pelicans at home. Little discouraging. They finished the season really strong, and the best they were able to get to was a 9 seed. That's just how tough the Western Conference is. And I think the Pels finished like 8-2 in the last 10 games, you know, going into this game. They still finished at number 9. So, but that's just the nature and how tough the Western Conference is. And a tough loss to end the season on Sunday to the Timberwolves. And now you see what the Timberwolves are doing. So I'm gonna say the Pels win at home against the Thunder. And so we'll see how that goes. And as far as I'm going to go with the Raptors winning at home, too. I like the length on their team. I like the way they finished toward the end of the year, too. The Bulls can be scary, though. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, of course. Big blow to their organization when Lonzo Ball and his injury situation there. But I'm going to go with the Raptors. I'm going to go with the Raptors and the Pelicans winning tomorrow night. Obviously, the Pelicans will play. If Pelicans win, they'll play the loser of this Lakers-T-Wolves game. Now, that's the game I will be concerned about for the Pelicans or whoever. I mean, we just played the Timberwolves in a dogfight on Sunday in Minnesota. And so I think it will be tough for them to go to Minnesota or L.A. to win. After, you know, if they beat the Thunder on tomorrow night. And the Raptors, I actually give the Raptors a chance to go to Miami and beat the Heat if they win that game. I really do. I just like the way they're playing. I like their length. Fred VanVleet on their team. And I would predict the Raptors to pull off the upset and go to Miami.
Wow.
I just want the Lakers to lose. That's all I care about. Poor JQ,
hey,
and I care deeply about that.
Well, they got a good chance of losing tonight the way it's going, and hopefully they'll lose to my Pelicans on Friday night.
That'll be a tough game.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking at the rest of the playoffs. You know, I would say I think Denver wins their first-round matchup. I'll tell you what, Memphis and Minnesota will be a really tough matchup. And I would pick Memphis to come out of there. I'll pick Golden State, even as a 6 seed, to beat Sacramento. I think the Suns will have a cakewalk over the Clippers. I think they'll win that in even 4 or 5 games. I mean, no Paul George. I think the Suns wipe them off the floor. I think the Suns beat the Nuggets, and I think the Warriors beats the Grizzlies. And I think you're looking at a Warriors-Suns Western Conference final, and I think the Suns will go to the NBA finals, if they're healthy, of course, with Kevin Durant and that team and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
So I'll pick the Suns to go to the NBA finals. And you look at the East, I take Milwaukee, of course. I'll take Boston. I'll take Philly. Philly over the Nets. And I tell you, the interesting series is the Knicks and the Cavs. Yeah, but I'm not sure how healthy Julius Randle is just yet. So that's the only reason why I'm going to lean to the Cavs. If Randle was healthy, I would pick the Knicks. And then maybe he is back fully healthy, but I'm just not sure yet. So I'm going to go with the Cavs. I'm going to go with the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers. Man, that could be a heck of a second-round matchup. I'm going to say that the Sixers lose again yet in the playoffs. I'm going to go with the Bucks and the Celtics. And for some reason, the Celtics just play – they match up well against the Bucks. And I think the Bucks will beat anybody else in the Eastern Conference except the Celtics. And so I'm going to go Boston and Phoenix in the NBA Finals with the Suns winning the championship.
Right.
Chris Paul finally won the title.
So, Rob, you had Philadelphia losing to Cleveland?
No. I had Philadelphia beating the Nets, and I had the Knicks losing to Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not sure if Julius Randle's healthy is what we're trying to say with that, too. Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, in the I'll just go to the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. I'll eliminate all this. I think it's going to be Denver and Golden State in the Eastern Conference. And I think Golden State is going to win and go back to the finals.
What?
In the Eastern Conference.
What?
That's a scary team. That is a scary team.
Mm-hmm.
Even as tough as the West is, that's a team that nobody wants to match up against. Nobody wants to go against them. And
you're right about that.
In the Eastern Conference, it's going to be Boston and Philadelphia. And I think Boston is going to win. And Boston is going to lose in the finals to Golden State in six games.
Again.
Wow. As much as everyone's picking the Celtics, because that is assuming they're going to beat my beloved Hawks. But, that's interesting. You know, it's tough. I kind of lean towards the Suns as far as the updates that they made with Kevin Durant. And, you know, you're kind of pulling for Chris Paul to get his one championship now. But, you know, right now, Golden State definitely is a scary team. So I'm just surprised everyone is showing us some love from that perspective too, you know.
Denver's the number one seed for a reason, you know.
True.
They play well together. They're well coached, and they got the two-time MVP, you know.
Yeah. Joker, doing his thing.
Joker. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that music. That's the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m., East Coast, NBA playoffs. We want to hear from y'all, New York, Boston, Philadelphia. We want to hear from y'all. We want to hear from the legends, too, Patrick Ewing, Dr. J, Larry Bird, those franchises. All into the show on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. All right, Central Time Zone is going to be 10 p.m. We want to hear from y'all, Chicago, and how y'all played out and if you made the playoffs or not. And then the Mountain Time Zone, Denver. So how are you guys going to do the playoffs? We'll hear from y'all fan group. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time. And then West Coast, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Phoenix, Los Angeles. We want to hear from y'all. Oakland, San Francisco, Sacramento. Dial in next week. Good night, people.
Good night, people.
The whole town of three in Williams, Arizona, to call into the show this next week.
I was going to say, Gary, I'm just happy that your internet stays the whole time, man. I'm just like, I'm holding fingers, man. Hopefully the internet stays.
Hey, so far, so good.
And you got like, yeah, but we'll let you go, man. So, again, it's been a pleasure to talk with you guys. I know we're missing the energy that JQ brings in here, dropping a couple of bombs and stuff like that, too. But, you know, hopefully he's safe. He'll be back next week on Tuesday. We'll get this party started. Rob, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to wrap up with. I am going to say this really quickly about the Hawks before I wrap up. I am curious that they have officially given the green light to trade Trae Young, because it's interesting, because it does feel like that magical run was kind of like a fluke, man, as much as I hate to say that, you know, but it's tough because you don't want to give up on him, but it's like they've played some best games and he hasn't been on the court. So I'm kind of at, I'm not sure, you know, because it's like you didn't get him, you don't get Luka. It's like, do you cut bait? Do you have to kind of retool and just, you know, get some number one draft picks for him? I mean, I don't want that to happen, but it's just like, I don't know, man. This is
going
to be curious. And
I don't think
hopefully
he's
give him one more year of Quinn Snyder. I don't think he's going anywhere either, but I'm saying you got to give him one more year of Quinn Snyder to see he's playing well and just, you know, let Quinn kind of do his thing, man. I am curious what's going to happen with Rudy Gobert, man. I know him and your boy got into a fight with so I'm curious what's happening with that, man. I don't know if he's going to plan his way out of that, but, you know, that's my two thoughts. I agree with you, Gary. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, but just there to say, hey, the green light is there if just in case. No one is literally untradeable.
That's their guy.
Yes.
It did come out. It did come out. Play. The Athletic, they did print that, which is interesting. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
And Trae Young had a good game tonight, too. I mean, so he did play well tonight, yeah. But I hear the organization is frustrated with him and taking a lot of ill-advised shots. You know, he's scoring a lot of points, but, you know, his shooting percentage has been really crappy, you know, this season. And so the organization, mm-hmm. and I hear that's one of the reasons they got Nate McMillan fired, right? Nate tried mm-hmm. to change his game a little bit for him to be a little bit more facilitator and stop taking a lot of these ill-advised shots. And, that's they really feel like, and he's not the defensive player, you know, because of the size, too. So, if he's going to shoot like that, he's really got to shoot at a high percentage. You know, if you're going to go 7 for 30, it's easy to score 20 points when you're going to get 30 shots up, right? So they need his shooting percentage to be. Now, he shot the ball well tonight. You got to give him credit. You know, they went on the road against a very good Miami Heat team that plays really good defense. So he did shoot the ball, a lot better than he has this past season. Let me see if I can pull up his final stats in the night. 8 out of 18, I'll take that from a Trae Young. What you don't want is 5 out of 18, right? Still not, 50%, but they want him to be, he had one more shot. He shot 50% from the field tonight. So I'll take 8 out of 18, from Trae Murray. Now here's the problem. 1 out of 18 3-point range. He's got to hit at least two more of those. You know, it's hard to expect a shooter to hit 50% from 3-point range, but you can't be 1 from 8 from the 3-point range. So even though he shot the ball well from the field, didn't shoot the ball well from the 3-point range, but he did have 7 assists on tonight, and that's when Nate was trying to get him to be a little bit more of a facilitator at that position.
What did he shoot from the 3-point range for the season?
Ooh,
because
like 30%. I
wouldn't
30,
look at
yeah,
someone,
but...
a shooter like that. I wouldn't look at him and the talent that he has. I wouldn't look at in a negative one game, 1 for 8 from 3-point, because that's the type of guy that can shoot 7 for 7 the next game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's talented. And you can't
talented,
have a coach that you can't have a coach that holds a guy like that back either. That could be even more detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, what was it? Who was the coach for at the time? The coach of North Carolina, Rob, that he's the only person that could stop Jordan.
Dean Smith.
Oh, man. Dean Smith, that's what I'm thinking of. But just wrapping it up, and the crazy thing is, Gary, he had like 20 assists. Even though we lost to Philadelphia, he had 20 assists. But he was like only three other Hawks had, you know, more assists in his career, which is like, you know, Doc Rivers had like 21 in one game, and then Mookie Blaylock had the Hawks record with like 23 assists. So he had 20 assists this last, you know, weekend. So he's clearly talented.
That's
just, you know, I just hope that he has to get guidance. Yeah. So I digress. I don't think we're going to get rid of him. Please no, it's too late. But, gentlemen, unless you have anything else to talk about, we can wrap this up. Do you want anything to add to that, Gary? Anything on top of topics?
No, I just want to, you know, note that what JQ's favorite team is what? It is still Michigan, correct? JQ's?
You know it's Ohio State.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Let's put it out there.
Right, you got to hit him up.
Yeah. All right.
Man.
I'm done.
Anyway, John, appreciate you guys. Rob, thanks for the other topics. Gary, thanks for jumping on the board. Please be safe, Gary, as you're traveling, my guy. Seriously. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Absolutely.
We'll see you guys next week for sure. Be safe.
Good night, gentlemen.
See you. Good night, gentlemen.